למרות שלל ההבטחות בקמפיין, בכל נאום וסרטון.
אנחנו נוריד את מחיר החשמל, אנחנו נוריד את מחיר הדלק, אנחנו נוריד את מחיר המים.
המחירים עלו היום. הדלק התייקר ב-9 אגורות, תעריף החשמל עלה ב-8.2%, מחירי המים עלו ב-3.5%, ותעריף הארנונה ביותר מ-1%. אבל למרות ההבטחות והציפייה בציבור, שר האוצר החדש סמוטריץ' דאג היום להבהיר שלא בחזו קלות יקפיאו את המחירים.
הטיפול ביוקר המחיה הוא אחד האתגרים הגדולים ביותר שניצבים היום בפני הממשלה כולה. איך עושים את זה נכון במונחים של כלכלה מקצועית, אני באמת לא רוצה לצאת בחזות.
The last economic reset occurred in 1944 with the creation of the Bretton Woods system. The US dollar replaced the pound sterling as the new world reserve currency and was convertible to gold at a fixed rate of $35 an ounce. Nations of the world entrusted the Federal Reserve Bank to hold their gold in return for market liquidity. This trust was good up until President de Gaulle of France pointed out that the United States was printing more money than they had in gold reserves to pay for the war in Vietnam, and in 1971 sent a warship to New York demanding their gold back. Days later, President Nixon took the world off the gold standard altogether, allowing the war machine to print endless amounts of US dollars. In 1974, the United States offers use of its war machine to Saudi Arabia in return for their oil to be sold exclusively with US dollars. This becomes known as the petrodollar and ushers in a new era of endless warfare. Andy Schechtman of Miles Franklin has been trading precious metals for over 30 years and lays out the evidence that the world is going back to a gold standard. In 2017, Germany's Bundesbank made headlines when they demanded the return of their physical gold by 2020. Within weeks, the Bank of Austria, the Bank of Hungary, the Bank of Turkey, the Czech National Bank, and the Bank of Poland all quietly began repatriating their gold as well and began buying more. These banks bought more in 2018 than they had bought in the last 60 years combined, and they doubled that the next year. In 2019, the Bank for International Settlements classifies gold as a Tier 1 reserve, rivaling the US dollar for the first time in 80 years. In 2020, the International Monetary Fund publicly announces a shift towards a new system to replace Bretton Woods. Also that year, a new major buyer suddenly appears, anonymously labeled as Other, and begins draining the COMEX and London Metals Exchange of precious metals to an extent never seen before. In August of 2021, Saudi Arabia signs a military cooperation agreement with Russia, directly challenging the U.S. petrodollar agreement. This is immediately followed by the U.S. military's abrupt departure from Afghanistan. In 2022, Russian banks were removed from the SWIFT system. This weaponization of the banking system inspired a massive sell-off of U.S. treasuries, as Russia and China announce a new commodity-backed world reserve currency. Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, and Iran begin selling oil to China for bonds that are immediately convertible to gold. BRICS membership is now nearing 90% of the world population, and all these countries are dramatically expanding their gold reserves. China's Belt and Road Initiative is moving towards connecting nearly 3/4 of the world population into its centralized system with the digital Chinese yuan. And the US government is left holding a bill they can't pay and a war machine they can't afford. The US Mint is making it difficult for citizens to buy gold and silver, as if they want everyone at their mercy when it all goes to zero. Their only solution seems to be total control. This is at least one of the reasons why Elon's Twitter files are spread out like a Netflix series, to keep Americans busy while their entire life savings are swiftly turned to zero. Reporting for InfoWars, This is Greg Reese.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks, Technology. Why do people like and embrace technology so much? Well, one response is because it makes life easier. That's one of the reasons that authorities and people give, because it's convenient, because it can make certain jobs easier. Now, people seem to think I'm a technophobe. I've nothing against technology if it's used as a tool and in moderation. But like any tool, it can be used for good and evil. And looking at the world today and the power-mad, control-freak organizations that want to digitize and put a number on everything that exists so it can be tracked and monitored and measured to the eighth degree, it's looking like it's being used for evil, mostly, to me anyway. Here's a clip from Ireland a couple of days ago. This is a car number plate license detecting machine, okay? And what people need to realize is how this is going to transfer eventually into people and individuals. You need to see that they want to put number plates on people eventually, basically.
Automatic number plate recognition technology has been in use by Gardaí for the past 12 years. But recent advances in the technology mean Gardaí can now search driver data on their mobile phones. And that, combined with the database updated daily by insurance companies, means that it's now much easier to detect those who are driving without insurance.
Previously, what people were doing is they were buying their insurance policy and they were paying for it using direct debit. So they had the cert in their window, they cancelled their direct debit, so they're getting away with paying only 10% for their insurance. Whereas now with the ANPR system, we're able to detect that. We can bring the driver to court, the vehicle will be seized from them, so they can't get away with it anymore.
Now, car insurance, it's just a government-mandated scam. Is it not? Money-for-nothing business, paying every year for nothing. Usually, if anything does happen, what you'd spend on insurance would be enough usually to cover any minor accidents you are likely or rarely to get in. But then, in the case of a bad one, what you're covered for usually isn't enough. So for every one minor accident someone may have in a year, there are thousands who have no accidents. It's money for nothing. You know what I mean.
Insurance Ireland say this rate is among the highest in Europe, and they're hoping these technological advances will help drive that figure down. The technology can also detect issues with tax, NCT or other road traffic violations. Gardaí and Insurance Ireland hope that it'll make people think twice before driving without the proper documentation.
666 on the car, there you see. You notice there she says it can be used for car tax, MOT and whatever else they can dream up. And you know where that will go if they bring in restrictions like how far you can travel, how much petrol you can use, restrictions brought in under the excuse of CC33. They'll have your car tracked 24/7 and the mileage, how far you've travelled. You probably have a set amount of miles that you can use per month or whatever. This is what technology is being used for, to dominate and control people in every single way they can think of. And this is presented in this news article as a positive for people, you know, oh, it's going to stop these people from not paying their insurance, even though that is one of the biggest scams going. This number plate recognition is exactly the same and what you will see with facial recognition. Maybe not at first. Initially, it's going to be tied to people's smartphones. Think of the smartphone as a number plate. They will be tracking you as you're going about your business, your everyday business. We've got the smart meters that celebrities and influencers are still trying to persuade the public to get. It's the digital trap that I've been talking about for ages now. And that trap is conducive to networking your devices together. So networking your smartphone, your smart meter, your smart TV. Why do you think all of these companies are starting to ask for two-factor authentication to sign into bank accounts and some online sites? Because they want to create that network. Multi-factor authentication is about using multiple devices in order to authenticate who you are, right? Here we see this headline from a couple of days ago. homes with smart meters being plunged into darkness by remote control. It says here in the article, the firm was able to take matters into its own hands because Lisa, that's the person they're talking about in the article, had agreed to install a smart meter in her home 6 months previously. The widespread adoption of smart meters means companies no longer have to come face to face with the people they are cutting off. And crucially, if a household does not pay, gets into debt, or fails to pay the bills on time, the supplier can use a smart meter to turn off their power. All it takes is the click of a button in an office hundreds of miles away. The smart meter doesn't give you any benefits. This technology is not being used to give you any benefits. The benefits are all to the other side. The benefits that they say are for you are a lie. It benefits the controllers. It benefits authority because they can then streamline their control over you and make it more regimented. It's the same with the smartphone. It's a good idea to mentally draw a line in the sand and have an idea of what you will and will not accept and stick to it, because with these people, it's all about slowly conditioning the masses to accept these continual digital chains they are placing around you. I mean, look out for the two-factor, three-factor, multi-factor authentication. They make out it's all about protecting your account or whatever it is from the so-called ever-increasing cybercrime, so they say. You know, we've heard this before. It's all for your safety. It's all about tying together all your digital devices so they can triangulate you. These devices are like spies, spying and reporting on you. So they want you to tell them how many you have, what they are, where they are, so they can get your devices to communicate to each other to report on you to them and give them more detail about what you are doing and where you are. That's what two-factor or multi-factor authentication is really all about. They are trying to bind you to their network so that when the beast system materializes and they want you to get that mark, you're somewhat already entangled in that system. But no matter what, these control freaks are on the losing side. They cannot capture your soul unless you give it away. That's why I always recommend to get rid of the majority of gadgets, because I presume one day soon, you know, I'm going to stop uploading videos, stop using the internet. That's where these regulations are leading. You know, people are addicted to using the internet now. They've been groomed to become addicted. They can't imagine a life without the internet now. And I'm not making out I'm any different. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. You know, I'm used to using the internet as well. But I do anticipate a time when it will be time to pull the plug and go back to basics. It won't be easy, but I'm mentally preparing myself for it. They will have you jumping through hoops to get onto the internet at some point, which, as I've said before, the clue was in the name. It was telling you right at the start it was a trap. It's the internet. It's a net. It's the worldwide web, a web to ensnare and trap you. And yeah, when they get you jumping through hoops to get onto the internet, then that will be the time to turn it all off completely. Now, I get a lot of questions about God in the comments. People saying, oh, please, why do you keep going on like this? Why do you keep on? You're a Bible thumper. And then I get loads of comments, positive comments as well, about me talking about these things. So I thought I would just throw in this one comment. Somebody said to me the other day, Hugo, why is it you don't believe in anything you see and hear is real in the media, but you believe in God when there is no proof for one? So I replied, I said, faith. I believe it's called faith, and it is said that God gives faith to those who seek it. I then asked, are you a real person? Because if so, you could consider yourself as proof. Where did you come from? Where did your parents come from? How did all of these complex biological patterns and super complex natural phenomena come about and work so seamlessly together? You are an amazing biological system which far exceeds the capacity of human technology, a system that was clearly not put together randomly, haphazardly, or by chance. The architecture of the human body was created by intelligent design. And so even without faith, even if you're lacking in faith, that one point alone is strong evidence of a purposeful God that is responsible for creation. Okay? As always, thanks for listening.